Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Scott Benjamin, the auto editor here at HowStuffWorks.com, and I'm joined by Ben Bolin, who is the video editor here at HowStuffWorks.com also. How are you doing, Ben?
I'm doing well, Scott. That was a great introduction.
It was smooth.
I wanted to come to you with a question that some people have probably been wondering about. And it is, of course, car-related.
Okay.
And we actually have an article about this, too. So I did cheat just a little bit on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I bought a car, and I've got a couple friends who lease cars, and all my friends are under the impression that they are funny people.
Mm-hmm.
No offense, guys. And they have constantly made jokes to me about, you know, buying or leasing a car. And so I wanted to come to you as an expert and ask you, which is smarter, buying or leasing a car?
Which is smarter? I can give you a definite answer. It depends.
That is a definite answer.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, real definite, right? It depends on your individual needs. It depends on every situation is different, so it's better for some to lease and it's better for others to buy.
Okay, well, all right. In that case, then, that sounds suspiciously like a disclaimer, but it sounds like a very good one and a truthful one. So in this situation, I guess the first thing we should do is we should break down what the definition is. You know, I'll do buying a car because that's the easier one.
Okay.
When you buy a car, you make a down payment, you usually work out a financial agreement wherein you pay a certain amount each month. I guess if you're at a particular stage in life financially, you might just buy a car, you know.
Buy
it outright in cash or in, you know, some other means. You may barter for a car. Who knows?
Possibly. Yeah. The outright purchase doesn't happen too often.
It's relatively rare. Most people have some financing.
Yeah, usually. And they call that traditional financing, as a matter of fact. But kind of the, I don't know, I want to say the trend, but it's not really a trend anymore. It's been happening for a long time. You can also lease a vehicle, and the leasing is slightly different in that you're just really paying for the use of the vehicle while you have it. You're not really, you're not buying the overall vehicle, but you are paying a pretty decent sum to use it for that amount of time, whatever that time is, you know, whether it's 24 months or 36 months or, mm-hmm. I mean, I think I've even seen them up to 60-month lease,
yeah.
Which seems like a long time to me, but I don't know, the lease terms and vehicles, you know, they vary from dealer to dealer and, mm-hmm. What they offer and what's out there, what's available, what's possible.
And they're highly variable, especially in terms, some have mileage qualifications.
Yeah, restrictions. Yeah.
Restrictions.
And some of those, in fact, restrictions also, the mileage restrictions come into play when I'm thinking about leasing a vehicle. I can't do it. There's no way. Because some of these vehicles, the amount that you're allowed to drive every year is something like 12,000 miles. Now, you can buy up to, I think it's about 15,000 is what they're allowing in most cases. And I'm sure there are plans to buy additional miles. Or you can buy just additional miles per mile beyond that if you'd like, if you know that you're going to drive more. But really, you know, if you're going to drive between 12 and 15,000 miles, that's a possibility for you then. But anyone above that really,
right.
Maybe think about buying.
An easy rider like yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
He's used to interstate trips.
Lots of road trips, yeah. Lots of long miles.
Okay, well, in that case, we understand then that that's one of the situations in which it might be better mm-hmm. to buy a car is if you are going to be driving over a conventional mileage limit for a lease.
Yeah, that's right. It's not the only reason. It's not just – mileage isn't the only factor to come into this.
Right.
There's a lot of factors. In fact, in our article, there was a gentleman that was called upon. His name is Philip Reed, and he's a consumer advice editor at Edmunds.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Reed, his advice is, he says that leasing versus buying isn't just a financial difference, it's a lifestyle choice. And what he means by that is that if you're someone who trades cars often, you know, like if you always want a new vehicle, if you constantly want to update, every couple of years, and then leasing's for you. If you lease, your payments tend to be much less than if you purchase a vehicle. And we'll talk about that when we mm-hmm. get to it. But lessees, the people who lease vehicles, they're also able to drive, you know, relatively nice new cars all the time. And I don't know, maybe a car that they couldn't have afforded otherwise. You know, if you were going to go through the traditional Right. You can go through the bank and finance everything. You may not have been able to afford quite that level of vehicle.
That Bentley will put you back.
That Bentley will. Yeah, that's right. So anyways, there's a lot of positives and a couple of drawbacks to leasing as well. So we can go through those if you want.
Yeah, let's do the you know what? Let's do the positives.
Mm-hmm.
But because we already kind of touched on those,
mm-hmm.
and then let's do the negatives, take it down a little bit, and then, you know, maybe we'll bring it back up.
Sure, we can. We got to talk about buying as well, buying versus leasing. So,
yes.
We'll do that too, I promise. So a couple of positives, and I'll just run through these real quick.
Yep.
Again, there's low upfront cost because oftentimes you won't have a down payment required.
You got me.
Not always. Not always, though. In fact, take a look at some examples here where usually there's something required up front. It's not always a hefty down payment, though, where with a purchase, they almost always require a down payment. Almost always. There's always exceptions.
Do they do maybe trade-ins or?
Trade-ins are another thing, and that's really with buying, though, if you're going to buy a vehicle. So we'll get to that, too.
We'll get to that.
But that'll take money off the top end.
Okay.
Another positive of a lease is that, again, you get you get lower monthly payments, typically, when you're leasing versus buying. Leases are also easier to be approved for versus a car loan oftentimes. So if you're going to a bank or another financial institution of some kind, whether it may even be the manufacturer's corporate, you know, like GMAC or Chrysler Financial or whoever.
Right.
I don't know if they're around anymore. Anyways, the corporation's leasing center, maybe easier to get a lease versus an actual absolute loan. And the last positive here that I have, at least on the list anyways, is there's little or no maintenance cost for the vehicle throughout the life of the lease because, you know, typically you're talking about a 24-month or a 36-month lease, and the vehicle is brand new, still under warranty. You can just about take it back for everything. I mean, unless you have body damage, something like that, you know, that you need to pay for out of pocket, your VIN insurance or whatever. But, you know, tires, things like that, expendables, of course. And, you know, oil changes are often covered. Mm-hmm. Anything goes wrong with the powertrain, of course, you're probably covered. You know, door handle falls off, whatever. So maintenance costs are really low, whereas if you buy the vehicle, you still get the warranty, but beyond that warranty, which is typically, you know, typically ends around the, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 year mark, or the mileage mark, those costs all come right to you. So, you know, the maintenance costs do go up after a period of time with the vehicle.
Scott, we both know that I have poor impulse control. So right now, those sound like a lot of pros. Take me down, man. Talk me down from the ledge.
Here's some of the downsides, I guess. And I don't know if these aren't really terrible or anything, but there is a higher insurance cost. Now, the insurance often includes something called gap insurance, and gap insurance is what you pay in the event that, you know, you don't pay it in the event, you pay it no matter what, but you pay it based on the idea that if you were to total that vehicle, that say valued at $40,000,
right,
the insurance company has to repay all of that amount. So you're paying your insurance within your payment. It's rolled into your payment, but it's based on the idea that you may total that vehicle and have to pay back. And they will have to pay back the full price to the dealer that owns it.
I think I see where you're going.
Yeah, that's a higher cost there.
Yeah.
Here's one that's kind of, we just said that there's not often a down payment required, but if there is a down payment, and often there is, because I've been watching for this. You know, if you look at vehicles like, I'm just going to take an example, like a Cadillac or something like that. A lot of times you'll see at the end of, or Lexus or something a little high end maybe, a lot of times at the end of the ad, they'll say that there's, you know, $4,500 required at signing. And, you know, the down payment is pretty significant. And that's money that just simply goes out of your pocket. You never get that back. Because on your next lease, you're going to be expected to do the same down payment or whatever the down payment is for the vehicle that you're getting. So it doesn't come back to you. You're not building equity with the lease as well.
Right.
Which is another point we're talking about
in
a moment. But that $4,500 is just kind of getting you into that vehicle.
You know what? I'm glad that we talked about this before I called somebody to start leasing a car because, and seriously, those upsides sound pretty good, but if you think about it, is somebody who's leasing a vehicle, are they saving money or are they just moving the cost around?
Well, you know? it's a bit of, I don't even know if they're saving money. They're just moving it around, I guess. They're delaying. I don't know if that's even the right way to say it. It's a tricky situation because we'll talk about time in just a moment about, you know, when we get to cost of ownership over 5 years for a lease vehicle versus when you're purchasing a vehicle, and then 10 years. So, you know what? As a matter of fact, let me just do that right now.
Yeah, let's just go right to it.
Why don't you fill some time?
I would love to tell you a story very quickly, actually. And this is interesting. My mother is the owner of a hybrid, and I'm not gonna specify which one or which company. But the funny thing that happened on the way to the grocery store, her car had a check engine light or something of that nature come on, and which we have an earlier podcast about, and then the car locked up and froze. And she could not, for the life of her, get it to start. So it's still under warranty. So it was taken to the dealership. And then they looked at it. And the part of the engine that had malfunctioned was something that would only be there to support the hybrid part of the engine.
Okay.
However, it did not qualify for the warranty because it wasn't considered part of the hybrid system.
Really?
Yeah. So there was some fine print there. And, you know, warranties oftentimes have a bad reputation, get a bad rap, because people say there's a devil in the details, you know?
Yeah.
But it's interesting to think that if she had leased the vehicle instead of purchased it, that she would have been more likely to have that covered.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. I've never heard of anything like that, Ben. That's interesting. You don't happen to know what the name of the part was or what –
Again, I don't want to say the names of the make or the model or anything, but it was definitely, I believe it is a harness. It's a part of a harness that only exists in hybrid engines.
Okay.
But still, because it's not directly powered by the engine, I think it's powered by the internal combustion engine to, our listeners are way too smart. I don't want to misspeak.
It's a go-between the hybrid system and the combustion engine.
But it didn't qualify because she purchased it, and it probably would have had she leased it.
Interesting. All right, I found my notes.
All right.
Oh, good. Okay, it took
well, that
a long
worked
time.
Out well.
Good. Nice, nice filler there. That worked.
Hey, I've got three more in case we need
three
to,
more. Yeah. You may need them. I'm going to have to search here in just a minute.
All right.
I'm going to read this. This almost comes directly from our article. So this is a five-year example, a cost of ownership example.
Oh, good.
Of a vehicle that is based on, and this is from Edmunds, really, based on a $20,000 car financed with a three-year loan at 6% interest.
Okay.
Okay. What Edmunds found was after a five-year period, the real cost of owning a car was actually slightly higher than leasing. Now, that we're going to come back to this in a minute, but with the monthly payments, the down payment, maintenance, insurance, taxes, state fees, and interest, the total cost of ownership came to $32,388 for 5 years.
Wow.
So you're paying with all those extra fees and costs and interest and everything. Under the same circumstances, the cost for leasing the car during a five-year period of time totaled $32,140. So
it's close.
Very close. I mean, within a couple hundred dollars close.
Yeah.
So initially, it seems like leasing is a more affordable way to go, right? I mean, that's what...
Slightly.
Okay, so here's the thing, though. And there's always a... Here's the rub.
Here's the rub.
There's always a rub.
All right.
In a 10-year scenario, well, because very few people drive a car for... Just five years, if they own the vehicle. So we're taking kind of it was a skewed look at it, I guess, if you want to say that, leasing the car for 5 years versus owning it for 5 years, because most people will own a car for more than 5 years. So if we take this and extrapolate it out to 10 years, which is kind of ridiculous that you're going to lease a vehicle for 10 years, but let's do it anyways because that kind of gives you a more clear picture of what you're spending, really.
Okay.
Your insurance is going to decrease. Your maintenance costs are the insurance is going to decrease. Mm-hmm. The maintenance costs are going to increase. And you have to understand that you're not going to have any payments for that last 5 or 7 years of ownership, whereas with a lease vehicle, you would continually make payments. Even though they're smaller, you'd still make payments for those additional 5 or 7 years, depending on how long the term of your lease or loan would be, I guess. So when you add up all the costs, and you finally, I mean, this is where you see the benefit of buying versus leasing.
Mm-hmm.
Again, a ridiculous scenario, 10-year lease,
sure.
But maybe it'll happen.
Possibly has happened.
It possibly has happened. So with adjustments for maintenance and operational costs, et cetera, the total cost of that $20,000 car is up to $43,000.
If
you own it for 10 years.
Okay.
Now, if you had leased that same vehicle for 10 years,
$64,000
is what you would have ended up paying for that $20,000 car.
Which is a whole new lease at that point almost. That's $20,000.
It's more than a whole new lease because it's... Yeah, you're talking about a $20,000 car that's now cost you $64,000.
Wow.
In 10 years, where you could have had three new vehicles in three-year increments for much less. So, again, this is it's confusing as heck when you look at the numbers, but
yeah.
You're paying all these different fees and depreciation, and you don't get the money back for your down payment,
mm-hmm.
Which you do sort of in a purchase situation, but mm-hmm. you get much less back, and that's due to car depreciation.
And in a roundabout way, not to roll over you here, but mm-hmm. in a roundabout way, these costs can come back for somebody leasing a vehicle. It sounds like one of our main playing factors here is time. But as you said before, there are some other variables that people need to keep in mind that make it even more confusing, because we mentioned state fees, which vary on a state-by-state basis.
Correct.
We mentioned insurance, which varies widely depending on your MVR, your record.
Right, and it also just depends on what county you live in.
Yeah.
It depends on if you live in the inner city or if you live in a suburb or if you live way out in the country or if you live in a state that has lower insurance rates overall.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different factors to look at here. And percentage rates, mm-hmm. Percentage rates play high into this because, you can get a 0% interest loan at times. You've seen those offers before.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen 1.9. A lot of these were figured at 6%. So, 6% is just kind of an average, maybe like a credit union type loan. There's just a million variables. And then depreciation of that vehicle. There's an example of car depreciation in that article.
Uh-huh.
The depreciation was that, this is that 10-year example.
Okay.
So let's say you bought bought or lease vehicle was a 1998 Camry.
All right.
So that was about, 10 years ago, let's just say. The MSRP in that car, so brand new, the car was the base price is $21,000.
Okay.
And after 10 years, I guess that would be 9 years. That vehicle was valued at $4,075.
Wow.
I know. That's a lot. And that is in excellent condition. So if you kept your car in excellent condition for 10 years, which is that's pretty difficult to keep a car in excellent shape for 10 years, that vehicle, you're only getting $4,000 back on a $21,000 initial investment. And then you can take that, but what you can do with that $4,000 is that you can trade that in on the next vehicle if you were to purchase it.
Right.
You can say, I've got $4,000 worth of trade in here, knock that off the top end of my next $21,000 car, and now you've got, you've only got $17,000 to finance, which dramatically lowers your payments, and that makes it even better. So, if you get in the cycle of buying, it's better if you have something to hand back to them at the end. If you're leasing, that money's gone. It's like you're starting. It's exactly like that. You're starting over again every 3 years or every 4 years or whatever your lease term is. So you're not building any equity. But if you're buying, you are building equity.
Scott, I'm going to ask you something that sounds left field, but just go with me here because mm-hmm. we're going to get back on track pretty quickly.
Okay.
Have you ever seen The Shining?
I have.
Stanley Kubrick movie.
Yeah.
Kid in there has The Shining or he's psychic or whatever.
Kid's nuts.
What is he, Scott? Because I have a little bit of The Shining.
Just a tad. You talk to your finger
goes.
Like that?
No. I outgrew that last summer.
Okay.
But I've got a little bit of what they call the shinning on The Simpsons, and that little tingle, that little extrasensory perception there, is telling me that this is very confusing for somebody to just hear and try to follow up on their own. So. Somewhere out there, I can just sense it. There's somebody who wants a very clear explanation, maybe a way to just figure it out. Is there somewhere they can go?
There are a lot of places you can go, as a matter of fact. And I'm glad you brought that up because I probably would have forgotten that in the pile of notes that I have here. But there are all kinds of buying versus leasing calculators that you can go to. And oftentimes the manufacturers will even have them on their sites. you know, banks and other lenders have them as well. What it does is it spells out very clearly for you what your payments would be based on, you know, the rate of the loan, the length of the loan that you're looking for, the length of the lease you're looking for. You know, it tells you exactly what the state and, you know, the taxes and other information would be. It gives you very clear, if you have a trade-in vehicle, what that buys for you. Very clearly, it'll tell you what your lease payment is versus what your purchase payment would be based on the money that you're willing to front, and as well as, you know, the specific make and model of the year and model of the car, rather. And I don't know, just really clear calculators, and they're real simple, easy to fill in information, you know, four or five lines each, but they give you a very precise idea of what you'll be paying, you know, buy versus lease.
And that's a really important step to take. Because any kind of vehicle you get, any expense like this is really a commitment, and you're probably going to buy or lease a vehicle that you will rely on for transportation, probably for your livelihood. So it really pays off to do the research. To reiterate what Mr. Reed said, it's kind of a lifestyle commitment. I was skeptical at first, but you kind of sold me.
It is. It's a lifestyle commitment, and the thing is, I've got a bunch of examples here, but I don't even think I want to go into them because we think we've kind of exhausted this one. But really, it depends on what you. Just to wrap it up, I guess kind of concisely here is that, you know, when you're leasing, you're starting over again every couple of years. You're starting over with a new lease. If you're buying, you're building equity. You're continuing the cycle of buying and selling back vehicles, and in whatever way you choose to do that, whether it's to another person to get the money to use a free down payment, whatever. But again, it varies from person to person, from situation to situation, so it's different for everyone. And there's a lot of information available online. Just make sure that you're making an informed decision because there's a lot of choices out there.
Well, I guess that does wrap it up. That was pretty good, man. That was the talking points.
I appreciate it.
Those were the talking points, to be a little bit grammatical. So I guess then we're done with this. Thank you for talking me out of leasing a vehicle. I'm sure
I didn't mean to talk you out of it. You need to look into it yourself. You need to find out if you qualify. And if you do, have at it. If you don't, then buying's the right way.
Oh, okay. Well, hopefully our listeners there are better with impulse decisions than I am. But you guys, thank you again for tuning in. Looks like it's about time for Scott and me to head out to the wild frontier of the internet. And we will see you again later this week. In the meantime, send us an email if you'd like at highspeedstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com. Be sure to check out the new High Speed Stuff blog, now on the How Stuff Works homepage.